This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. Bills coach Sean McDermott gave an update on the status of starting linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, both of whom suffered injuries on Sunday that forced them from the game prematurely, saying it didn't appear that either of them have long-term injuries and both of them fall into the day-to-day category. Edmonds suffered a shoulder injury. Milano tweaked his hamstring. Both left the game and did not return. The team is back on the practice field on Wednesday when we should know a little bit more about the status for each of those linebackers for Sunday's game in Miami. Week one wrapped up last night with two Monday night games. Ben Roethlisberger's return was highlighted by 3 touchdown passes in the Steelers' 26-16 win over the Giants. Pittsburgh also limited Giants running back Saquon Barkley to just 6 yards rushing on 15 carries. The other game, it was the miscues of Steven Gostkowski that told the tale for most of the night as the Titans kicker missed 3 field goals and an extra point, but then hit the game winner from 25 yards away to lift Tennessee to a 16-14 win over the Broncos. On the ice, one game tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Tampa Bay Lightning look to knock the Islanders from the postseason and reach the Stanley Cup Finals. They lead that series 3-1. Face-off tonight is at 8 p.m. One more note from hockey. Peter Laviolette has been named the new coach of the Washington Capitals, the team making that announcement earlier today. Laviolette's deal is believed to be for 3 years. He won a Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes back in 2006. And finally, from baseball, Major League Baseball and their Players Association reportedly reached an agreement to host most of the 2020 playoffs, including the Division Series, the League Championship Series, and the World Series, in neutral site bubbles. Reports are that the National League is expected to play in Texas, while the American League plays out in California. And that is your sports update from One Bills Drive. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here with you as we begin hour number 3 of the program. And joining us on the line right now is a former Buffalo Bills receiver, a current CBS broadcaster, and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. It's the one, the only, James Lofton, who covered the Bills-Jets game in week one on the television side. James, great to have you with us. How you doing back there in San Diego?
I'm doing very well. I found it interesting in the rundown that you had. You have the face-off in hockey, first pitch in baseball, I would think.
Yep.
You would have kickoff in football. Do you still toss the ball for a jump ball in basketball, or do they just take the ball out of bounds?
No, they say tip-off.
The tip-off.
Tip-off, yeah.
Yeah. But don't they just take it out of bounds sometimes?
Well, yes, they do. They don't have a jump ball after every stoppage and play like they did way back in the day.
Back when you started playing.
Oh, wow. Steve, now, come on.
I'm
sorry.
We got
James Lofton making time for us here, and right out of the gate.
It was too easy.
The judges will take 1 point off for hitting below the belt.
Wow.
What did you think of week one in the NFL, most notably here in Buffalo? What did you think, James? No fans, different atmosphere, even a different, completely different setup for you and Andrew in the booth. What are your thoughts about week one, not only on your end of it, but on the football end of it as well?
So many things were different. You know, we had had a suspension of sports for a while, so we had to deal with that. And I remember how that felt as you're flipping the channels, there is nothing on. And the first thing that was on, I think, was baseball from Japan. And you were watching that, and you were watching how they did it. And I talked to a couple of my friends who actually are Major League Baseball announcers. And what they're doing is they would announce the home game, being in the stadium, and then when the team plays on the road, they go back to the stadium to that same setup with all the monitors and just call the game from there and not travel with the team. So I had also saw where in college football, one of my good friends, Andre Ware, sitting in his living room doing the broadcast of the game.
Wow.
And they had set up monitors for him. So I didn't want that to be the case with the NFL. I think it's important to be in the stadium to get a feel for what's going on. Even last night on the Monday night game where they had 500 select fans, families and friends in the stadium, that still felt a little better. And, you know, I hope that we get to a point.
Nope, lost him.
James froze on us. Oh, there he is.
That's great for the fans and great for the players, too.
Yeah, Mike, I have a broadcasting question because obviously the home teams are allowed to play artificial crowd noise and music in the stadium at a certain level. When the place is rocking, I mean, that is audible through your headset and it's in your ears, even when you have a headset on because it's coming through your microphone. I'm guessing that decibel level on Sunday really didn't play a factor in terms of what you were hearing in your headset, or did you hear it?
No, we didn't hear it in our headset at all. So we didn't have to talk above it. We didn't have to really think about it. I noticed it more so when I watched other games and I knew what was going on. So, you know, you kind of had the inside track on that one.
Yeah. But what about going forward? I know that you, just as you said about the radio announcers for baseball, doing all the home and away games from the home booth, whether they're there or not, that's exactly what Murph and I are going to do for the Bills games. Murph and I will call the radio, make the radio call from the home stadium here. Even this week when the team is in Miami, Murph and I will be
calling it off a monitor.
Yeah, and they're going to replace the normal monitors with these big 70-inch monitors, and we'll have multiple of those, so we'll have better views. But that's kind of the concession you make for the current times we live in. What other differences you think stood out? Is there anything that you thought was competitively wrong with the weekend?
Not really. The thing that I enjoyed is I enjoyed hearing quarterbacks call their audibles. I heard a couple of Atlantas. So obviously there's a play that the Atlanta Falcons like to run that we've copied, that we do. I heard a Lombardi. And as soon as I heard that Lombardi, I knew that was a power sweep. And I think it might have been even the Bills or the Jets. And one of the two teams ran it in our game on Sunday. So you have those type of calls, and defenses are waiting for you to call it the second time.
Right.
And when they don't hear it that second time, or it could be a dummy call the second time, and you could do a little gotcha on them. So I think that gamesmanship will come into play as teams play before lessened crowds that don't have as much crowd noise, where you really can hear not only the quarterback, but also the offensive linemen make their calls.
James, as much attention as the offense got in this performance against the Jets, and deservedly so, I want to start with you and the defense because they really picked up right where they left off last season. I mean, they've been a top five defense each of the last 2 years. Sunday showed no indication that that's changing anytime soon, despite the fact that they had some wholesale changes up front in the offseason. So 4-3 and outs on the first five possessions for the Jets. I mean, what was your impression of Buffalo's defense? Do you think they might be even better this year?
Well, you were a little frozen, but the question is the defense going to be better?
Yeah.
Maybe. And maybe depends upon how well the offense plays. Because if the offense can supply the points that it potentially can, because we looked at the offense this past week and, you know, there were two missed field goals, two fumbles where you're moving toward the goal line. So that's at minimum 12 points and maybe even more if you factor in that possibly they'll score a couple of touchdowns. So this defense, I think, is structured pretty well to cover against a team that is coming from 14 down. When you add in Josh Norman, when he comes back, because he's going to give you a cornerback with swagger. I talked to Tre'Davious White before the game, and he said the one thing about Josh Norman is he is the ultimate trash talker. And you kind of need that to get in the head of the other team's receivers and the quarterback and everybody else. So I think he brings that to him. You add in Mario Addison and some of the backups that the Buffalo Bills added. Their depth but they're also guys who are used to being starters. So when you have defensive linemen who only have to play 35 plays a game as opposed to 60 plays, they can play fresh and they can play fast.
What do you think some of the things, and if as you look at it, we didn't know what either of these teams were going to look like when they showed up. I mean, nobody saw any preseason games. I thought Miami Dolphins in their loss to the New England Patriots, we just said it earlier in the show, how do you know what the Patriots are going to look like when they line up on week one? So I think the Dolphins will play better defensively against the Bills this week because of their familiarity with this system here, and they've seen them twice with this coaching staff and that kind of thing. But with the Patriots last week, the Dolphins were in a quandary as to what to think the Patriots would look like. Now the Bills go down to Miami. How do you think that game might look, and what are your thoughts about the Bills and the AFC East moving forward?
Well, it was interesting because you and I visited for a little bit at halftime, and I remember remarking to you that I was waiting to see some clean runs by the running backs. And I went back and I looked at my stat sheet. The New York Jets were second in the NFL defending the run. And, you know, you kind of had forgotten about that because, like you said, there was no preseason. And you forget about those stats. They only allowed 3.3 yards per carry in 2019. And they picked up where they were a year ago. So it was really smart of Brian Daboll to run those kind of zone read options with Josh Allen in the very first game. Because now it makes the other team start to look for those plays. You can hit the play action passes behind them, and you can probably get your single running back game going this next week against the Miami Dolphins because they're not as stout against the run as the New York Jets were.
So, James, there was a ton of anticipation as to what third-year Josh Allen would look like. I think Steve and I have had this conversation several times that we never envisioned Josh, in terms of his skill set, ever being a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers type where he's completing 68 to 70% of his passes. We've thought if this guy in year three can get somewhere between 62 and 64%, that would be fantastic, just knowing he brings you other things like big play ability and running ability. But Sunday, there he is throwing a short to intermediate passing game. I mean, the longest play from scrimmage was 29 yards on Sunday, and he's completing almost 72% of his passes. Is this a one-week thing based on what he was facing from a weak Jets secondary, or is this something that we can anticipate going forward happening again?
When I watched the game, as it's just starting to unfold, the thing that I really thought about is that he's really accurate today. He took a little bit off his fastball, because I think that's where he gets into trouble when he throws the ball a little too hard. The one that he missed, remember, he was rolling to his left, and I may remark that he just didn't get his hips turned, and he tried to throw that ball, and it just sailed on him. So he really only missed one or two throws at the most. And his receivers, Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Stephon Diggs, are really all sure-handed guys. They're not guys who are going to end up the season with six or seven drops. If they have six or seven drops between the three of them, that would surprise me because I think he's really getting comfortable with them. And the Diggs got popped a bunch of times where he could have given up a ball, but he held on to each and every one of them.
How worried does it make you that Josh Allen fumbled the ball on two carries, one where he got stripped and the other it just came out of his hands?
Yeah, he came into the game with 22 career fumbles. So that's his Achilles heel. And until he gets it solved, you know this, Steve, in every defensive meeting room, they're talking about get the ball out of his hands. He's going to be running. We can get the ball out of his hands, go after the football as he's running. So it's going to happen until he gets it fixed. And if he doesn't get it fixed, I don't want Josh Allen to lead the Buffalo Bills in rushing, and I don't want him to lead the Buffalo Bills in fumbles. So those are the two elements for me.
So what would be too much ball carrying for you, James? Because we've been talking about this on today's show, and I mean, we even said you can have a half a dozen design runs. You better expect that he's going to make a half dozen more runs on pass plays that don't work, and he goes off script. So how much is too much for Josh running the ball?
Too much is when he's struggling and he takes that big hit at the end of the run, or he puts himself in a position where he can fumble the ball. If he can get down and protect himself, because the thing about Josh Allen, when he was in high school, he was probably the biggest player on the field. He was probably bigger than half of his offensive linemen. He stiff-armed everybody that came up against him. He got to Wyoming. He was still able to out-muscle guys. But now when he gets in the NFL and he becomes a runner, he has that X on his chest. And people want to go after him, and they want to hurt him. They want to put him out of the game. You know, players aren't supposed to talk like that, but that's really the crux of it. You saw that last shot right there where they tried to take him down low. He's a big physical guy, and he has to learn to protect himself.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and that's really the balance you're trying to look for. And Chris brought it up too. Kyler Murray in Arizona ran 13 times. On 12 of those runs, he slid or ran out of bounds and never took a hit. That's perfect. And you don't have a problem when you can call your quarterback runs and he never takes a shot. And certainly when he runs down the field as a quarterback after throwing the football, there's no excuse for him taking a shot. That's totally up to him, and it's up to him to make those decisions. I mean, that you don't want to take that off the table for the offense.
It was 2 years ago when Josh Allen was hurdling everybody.
Right.
So maybe we've solved that one, that he doesn't hurdle guys anymore. But you're right. Kyler Murray is a different type of cat, because he and Russell Wilson both have that baseball background where they had to slide. And they learned that skill really well, and they encompass it at the quarterback position.
Yep.
You know, Josh Allen probably hit a lot of home runs when he played baseball, so he never had to slide.
Yeah. All right. So that last one for me, I got to ask you about how big a concern Tyler Bass is, the kicker. Missed two, made two. And looking around the National Football League, it looks like he's not alone. There are a lot of kickers with a longer pedigrees than his, more impressive pedigrees than Tyler Bass, who struggled yesterday as well or over the weekend. Only 70% good field goals all across the NFL in week one, the lowest
since 2001.
Yeah, in almost 20 years. So Tyler Bass wasn't alone yesterday. How big a concern is that?
Maybe the field goal kickers need preseason. Tyler Bass, and I don't pretend to be a kicking coach, it just seems like he just pops the ball. And he has a really active leg, but I didn't see the nice follow-through. I saw him, like, punch the ball a couple of times, and when he did, he doesn't have that ball that kind of draws back in. It's a straight line, and if he aligns a little bit differently or if the wind is pushing it one way, it's going to continue to go in that direction. That first one that he missed was really close. And when you miss the first one, the second one's in your head.
Yeah, I would
James,
agree with that.
James, where are we going to be able to find you this week on CBS? Where are you headed?
This is not Where's Waldo. I have Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Okay,
and, that's great.
Jacksonville had a surprise win in week one. They beat the Colts. And it's funny, the Colts were the sexy pick in that division, and now they're sitting on the bottom.
Yeah, that's going to be a rock'em sock'em game, though. I mean, that is going to be a physical contest. So we'll keep an eye out for you out there for week two action, Jacksonville and Tennessee. So if you got the tune it in and listen to James over there with Andrew Cantillon.
Hopefully we'll cross paths with you again as well, James. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great seeing you, bro.
I don't know if we'll get the first place Bills down the road. I hope we don't.
That's right. That's
all
exactly right.
Thanks very much, James. Hall of Famer James Lofton joining us on the line there from San Diego, talking Bills after he did the game with Andrew Cantillon here in Buffalo over the weekend. And, we may not – if the Bills are out in front and they're getting – you know, they're the game of the week. I mean, they're playing – they got four primetime games. Yeah. He's not doing those. You know, so there's four right there. And, you know, if they get – if they're getting broadcast to most of the country, we're probably getting Nance or we're getting – who's team two? Is it Harlan?
Yeah, Kevin Harlan, and Trent Green or perhaps
– or Ian Eagle.
Rich Gannon.
Yeah.
Ian Eagle and Rich Gannon.
Yeah.
Those guys.
So those are the top three crews. So if they're going to most of the country, they're going to put one of those teams on it.
When you go out to those NFC teams as well, you'll get AFCs. But when you get the Seahawks come into town.
So that'll be a Fox game.
Right. And when you get the Rams coming in 2 weeks, that'll be a Fox game as well.
So it'll be interesting to see which announced crew we get from the Fox network as well.
Now, we've been promising all day the comment from Brian Daboll on the very topic we're discussing today, which is how much is too much running for Josh Allen. And Brian Daboll did address that in his press conference with the media on Monday. Here was his take on that very subject.
The quarterback zone read game is part of our game. And when you're calling a zone read, I can't tell you who's going to have the ball. A lot of that is predicated on the defense and how they play it. It could go to the running back. It could go to the quarterback. There's only a few called quarterback runs, per se. And then, obviously, Josh does a great job with his legs when we're throwing the football, scrambling. So, the zone read is an obvious element to our game, particularly, I would say, last game. Now, whether it is the next week or the week after that, I couldn't tell you. But, you go back and you play a team like New York, who is very, very good at stopping the run. It's just a way to try to get an extra hat. And, last year, the game that they struggled the most with was against the Ravens, where they gave up over 200 yards. So, and that was part of the game plan, and certainly wasn't all of it. And we got to do a good job of trying to take care of the ball when it is in his hands, and he'll work to do that.
So that's kind of where he stands. It's part of our identity on offense. So there's no indication from Brian Daboll's comment there that things are going to change.
So
it just might be to what degree.
If you go back and look at last year and which teams that the Miami Dolphins struggled with, it might be a little trying to project what this week's game plan is going to be. Because if you look back, he said, well, they struggled with what Baltimore did to them, as a lot of teams did.
Well, he's talking about the Jets.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
So that's what the Bills, they said, all right, let's put this in. Since they struggled with this last year, let's try it against their defense this year, as they got that good run defense. So extrapolating that into what they're going to do for this game plan this week, go out and find out what the Miami Dolphins stunk at doing defensively last year.
Well, and they see if stunk you can a lot last year.
Right. Then it's like, well, it's not so
you
easy.
You can pick just about anything. They were right. 27th against the run, 26th against the pass, 24th in third down defense. And, by the way, they were 32nd in points allowed.
Right.
Dead last.
It's the
which
only
is why they made wholesale changes on that side of the ball in the offseason and signed people like Kyle Van Noy and Alandon Roberts from New England. Why they spent a boatload of money on Byron Jones, the corner from Dallas. And it's why they drafted Igbinoghene to play in the slot, a physical corner there. And it's why they signed Shaq Lawson in free agency. Here's the interesting thing about the Dolphins, Steve. They play that 3-4 front, and Shaq Lawson is on the line, but he's technically an outside linebacker. You know he's not dropping into coverage. He can't do that.
So he's good at that. Yeah.
That's a tell. That's a tell for me for the Bills offense. They know who Shaq is. They know in a 3-4, that guy's not dropping into coverage.
At least
any more than 5 yards.
The one thing about the Bills-Dolphins rivalry at the current state is this as well. The Bills scored 30 points in only two games last year. The home and home series with the Dolphins. They scored 31 in Buffalo, and then they scored 37 in Miami. That's the only two games the entire year they scored 30 points in. So there's plenty of positive things for the Bills to look back on and say, okay, we tried this, did this, here's what they did against us here. So there's going to be plenty for the Bills to draw from in their last two games with the Dolphins the last year that they can game plan for and see if the Dolphins have an answer for yet.
Now, flipping this thing around with Josh Allen running the football, Leslie Frazier, who was on with the media yesterday as well, was asked to give an assessment of the kinds of problems a running quarterback like Josh Allen can pose to NFL defenses. Here is Coach Frazier's take on that.
Yeah, when you have a quarterback who's mobile and can throw the ball from the pocket as well, but yet can still be accurate outside the pocket, that definitely presents problems for the defense. I mean, you have to come up with a little different plan than you would for a pocket passer, a guy who you kind of know where he's going to be at all times. So you much prefer to find a guy who's a statue back there and he's in one spot and put together your plan around that. When you have a guy that's mobile, you got to devise ways to try to keep him in the pocket and not let him get out of the pocket and make plays on the run, because it causes your coverage to break down a lot of times. When guys get out of the pocket and they're moving around, receivers are trying to uncover. So what seemed good early on all of a sudden from a defensive standpoint isn't as good anymore once he starts moving around. So it can definitely cause you problems.
It's an extra issue to deal with.
It causes a huge degree of difficulty for the defense when a quarterback starts to extend a play or just, you know, put the ball under his arm and take off running, and you just got to rally. It's really difficult for a defense. Defensive coordinators have always struggled with that. And I'll give you one story before we go to break, and this is one I may have told already on this. If this is an old story, I'm an old man and I repeat myself. So in 1985, my first year in the National Football League, I'm playing for the Houston Oilers. Jerry Glanville, who is a renowned defensive coordinator before he was a head coach for three different playoff teams, great football coach. We were playing the San Francisco 49ers, and they had Joe Montana in their, you know, he's starting quarterback. His backup was Steve Young, okay? So this is during that era, right? So we're getting ready to play the 49ers. And Jerry was a big zone blitz guy, 3-4. I mean, he's bringing guys from every angle or whatever and still playing zone behind it because it was confused the offensive linemen. And he says, we're going to get a free hitter here, you know, That was what they specialized in. He still is a fantastic coach. But he said this during the week. I'll never forget it. We're playing Joe Montana. He said, listen, you guys come in. You get a shot on 16 here. You get him on the ground, but you cradle him because I don't want number 8 coming off the bench.
Yeah, Steve Young.
He goes, we got our chances with this guy because we know where he's going to be. When 8 comes off the bench, we got no answer for that. He was telling him, don't take Joe Montana out of the game because we don't want Steve Young in the game. That's how much these coordinators hate
freak out
running quarterbacks. That's unbelievable to me. You think back on that. The guy was way
ahead of Montana. Can you leave the 4-time Super Bowl winner in the game, please? Just leave him out there. Injure him.
Leave that first ballot Hall of Famer
if
on the field.
If that is not the quintessential
we don't want that guy.
If that is not the quintessential lens through which you need to look at Jerry Glanville, I don't know
he
what
was
is
right.
'Cause that's who.
But he was right.
I know, but that. But he was big on outlandish statements like that, wasn't he?
Well,
like,
this was on practice on a Wednesday. This wasn't like to the media.
He
was a coordinator. He wasn't even the head coach. It was my rookie season. And I was like, okay.
That's an interesting
take. That's weird, but okay. If he's right, you know. And then,
Guy's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah, they're both in the Hall of Fame. And Steve Young, I mean, his highlights are off the hook. I mean, he was an all-time great.
That run against Minnesota. Where he kind of just he stumbles on the last two steps to get in the end
that
zone.
That is
one of the most unbelievable quarterback runs I have ever seen.
And I've thought about it a million times. Whenever I see it, I think, I know this. The next day, as great as that run was, as great as that victory probably was for that team, they are busting his chops
on stumbling there at the end.
The next day in films. I'll bet they ran that.
They're doing that.
They ran that minimum 20 times, and every guy in the room had a punchline for that one. Yeah. It was just one of the all-time – listen, Hall of Fame run.
I have to tie my shoe.
Hall of Fame run.
One of those deals.
But to stumble on the last minute, to have to lay out to get in the end zone when nobody's around him, just all-time fun play. It's just so hilarious. But that's – you know, that stuff that Jerry Glanville said holds true even today for defensive coordinators, and Leslie Frazier in that soundbite just alluded to it.
Break time for us, but when Steve and I come back, we'll get your thoughts on the tweet sheet about how much is too much running for Josh Allen, and we'll work in a little true-false if we have time. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For those of you Bills fans who somehow, some way missed Sunday's game, you will have a chance to watch it again as the game will re-air tonight at 7 p.m. right here on MSG for our MSG viewers that are watching us right now. So you can watch the 27-17 victory over the Jets again. Do it tonight.
It's so nice.
Maybe do some scouting. You know, maybe watch something that you didn't watch as the game was unfolding. Maybe you're one that when you're watching the game, you follow the ball. Maybe you want to watch some offensive line
or
play.
Or you don't want to spend the money on Game Pass or something like that.
There you go.
Go back and watch it. You can't watch. It won't be. It probably will be condensed a little bit, right?
That I cannot speak to, but I suppose it's possible because they want to fit it in a specific time window.
I imagine they'll chop it up and make it real quick to watch.
Sure.
And, it'll be better than, you know, the whatever.
Be more efficient watching.
More efficient
for
use
sure.
of our time.
We got to get to the tweet sheet because we haven't gotten there today. Brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills, and leading us off on the tweet sheet today as we were asking what should the Bills do with Josh Allen in the run game. Ronnie says, I'm all for using it. It's definitely a weapon, but not sure often. You read that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
From Max.
We'll jump ahead to Max.
Did we do Max?
No.
No. Max says, Josh and Dable have an entire arsenal of playmakers at their disposal. They don't need to resort to design runs into the belly of the beast. I don't want our franchise quarterback running into the belly of the beast and exposing himself to injury unless it's a scramble and easy pickings.
Let me say to that one. Max is a big fan of the belly of the beast expression.
I think he just likes saying it or writing it in this case.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he's right. Easy pickings is easy pickings. Take it. And I don't care who's got the ball in their hands.
And Josh saw that on the goal line call when he sauntered in for a 2-yard touchdown untouched to the left side of the formation when they had eight linemen up on the offense. And the play call was a run-pass option, and the pass was going to be to Ryan Bates, who was running across the back of the end zone. But he saw nothing but daylight to his left and decided to just run it in.
Right.
Which, you know, higher percentage play.
Yeah. And that you take the rushing touchdown and that's
take the easy play. Take the easy play.
Right? And it was a great play. Josh, when he gets out on around the edge, he's going to outrun any defensive end that's there for contain, which he did on that play. And I think most defenses now against the Bills, even when they go that at heavy set, it might be they're probably going to have a guy who's light enough to run Josh down if he does bootleg it out. That guy will be responsible for contain. Now, I'm going down a rabbit hole again. But if they do that, means the next guy there who's big is going to be responsible for coverage of whoever's there. Now, if it's Ryan Bates, okay, you got a heavy guy covering a heavy guy. But if it's not, if it's a tight end, then you've got a problem. And then the pass becomes easy. But that right there gives you an idea of why that play worked, because the Bills go with eight offensive linemen.
Yeah, they go three tight ends, but all of them are linemen. They go jumbo times three.
Bates is the single tight end to that side, the 300-pounder, Josh Allen. So what they do is they got a heavy guy on him. And if Josh gets outside, that heavy guy can't catch him.
Yeah.
So their defenses are going to have a plan for having a light, fast guy there to chase down the bootleg.
And that is not a play that we have ever seen before in terms of personnel grouping, because previously, well, you could dress eight linemen if you really wanted to, but more often than not, most teams dress only seven.
Right.
You can dress eight as an extra player this year and have a game day roster of 48 if you have eight linemen dressed. So
yeah, it gives the defense an extra layer to think about. He says, okay, do we have enough big athletes? Because you got to think that the Bills have a package with, you know, a pass package and a run package with that personnel grouping. They don't have to, but you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Defenders, you know, coordinators got to say, gosh, what are we going to do? Okay, so if we're going to do this, we're going to have our big, heavy guys cover these big, heavy guys, or we're going to have some athletes on the field – and hope they can just kind of hold their ground in a running game if they power off the edge, which is not going to happen, right? They can't do that. So it's a dilemma for a defensive coordinator, and it'll be interesting to see what other teams do with that personnel package, if indeed that personnel package rears its head.
On the tweet sheet from Dinah, she says, use it when the regular run game is having trouble along with end-arounds and screens. I think Josh is at the point where we can run more passing than rushing, but still need to keep it balanced. Our running backs will get better as they play more.
Yeah, I don't think the running backs were the problem yesterday or Sunday.
Yeah, it was creating the creases.
It was, the offensive line was playing against a really good defensive front.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. You're running against an NFL defense that was number two in the NFL against the run. And it wasn't because nobody tried to run at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They're good. And they acted like it yesterday, Sunday.
From three putts for days, you have to use Allen's legs as a weapon. It's another big source of our offense. He scores with his legs and makes plays with his legs. Take full advantage of what you have. Just protect the ball. There's a good number of Bills fans that are in this boat. Hey, if it works, let's use it. Just a little bit better ball security, please. I think there's a good number of fans in that category, as we saw in the voting, in the Twitter poll, because right now leading the way was use it when it makes sense against a given opponent as a mismatch. And then next in the voting was use it as much as you want. It's a weapon. You know,
I said this.
The third of the vote.
Right. I said this the other day, Brownie, that when you're playing good football in the NFL and you're trying to win games, you have to use everything at your disposal to the best. If they can't match up with some small nuance of your offense, you exploit it. Josh's legs, his ability to run with the ball and how fast he is more than just a nuance. It's a real package of plays that you have at your disposal that, say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not. The New Orleans the Houston Texans don't, or probably they do, but there's teams that don't, right? Because of their quarterback. The Bears don't have it. The Lions don't have it. The Packers don't have that, even with Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers don't have it. Big Ben can't run like that. There's a lot of teams that don't have that part of their arsenal at their disposal. So if you're going to win games against teams that have other skill sets that they can exploit, you've got to exploit your skill set. So at some point, Josh Allen's ability to run is going to have to be used by this team. And if you want to advance, it's going to have to work. Don't wait 10 weeks before you actually go to it again. You've got to use it enough to keep it well-oiled, keep it on the plate, so that if you need it, you can eat it, right? You can't just stick it back in the fridge and hope that when you pull it out, it thaws out real quick. You've got to keep it in the game plan and use it, because when you need it, you've got to have it up and ready and well-rehearsed. Because in a season like the Bills, and I'm using finger quotes, with high expectations, there are going to be games where you need all of it to win. And you don't know exactly if you're going to need it or not, but when you call on it, you need it to be ready. And Josh Allen's running ability is one of those things. You hope you don't have to run him 15 times a game. But if you get into a game where it's do or die, if it's win or go home, make sure that package is there and you've been running it and you know what's going on, right? So that's part of the balance you got to strike. But you've got to have it in there. You've got to use it. You got to show it at least enough to have teams think about it all the time.
And Bills and Mets fan agrees with you. I think we should use all of Josh's abilities, especially a run, as much as we can, but in the right circumstances. The run where he got the second fumble was a poor play call decision, in my opinion, but every other run seemed to be the right move. Steve and I have to take a break, but when we return, it's what have we learned from today's show, and there were plenty of lessons. Which one did we pick for you to remind you about? We'll have it for you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. As always, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. Time for What Have We Learned, brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. And on the show today was one Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. And I asked him for his take on how the Bills-Dolphins matchup on Sunday could go in light of the Dolphins' struggles with the running exploits of Cam Newton. Here was Brandt's take on that.
I think you look for Singletary and Moss from the Bills. I think this is going to be their ascension. This is going to be their emergence this week. I think you run it. Look what the Pats did against them. And as much as we love Fitzpatrick, and who doesn't? He has an undefeated approval rating. Everybody, especially in Buffalo, loves him. Guys, the Bills should wipe this team out. They're way better, way more talented. Let's get used to the new reality with Buffalo now. There's some teams that they should blow out. You don't always have to white knuckle it in the fourth quarter. I want to see them roll over on this team, because after a while, it's what the Pats did, and the Bills are more talented. Their quarterback in the system is more experienced. This should be a double-digit win. Miami, we love Brian Flores, and that's great. We love Fitz. Bills are a juggernaut. Show them your juggernaut.
Show them you're a juggernaut.
I'm not ready to go there yet, bro.
They could have had a juggernaut result last week. I mean, they don't miss two field goals. They don't have two turnovers near the red zone. That's a 40-7 game on Sunday.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
They did not do it. They missed two easy throws in the end zone. They fumbled the ball away twice in the red zone.
Two missed field goals.
Had two missed field goals in the middle of all that. So, well, again, that's a lot of points they left on the board. Juggernauts don't do that.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us today on the Tuesday edition of One Bills Live. The Wednesday edition of One Bills Live will include a report from the practice field. As the team gets back on the practice field, we'll have Matty Glab out there giving us an update on Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. We'll see if those two are practicing. Our thanks to Jay Harris, Jeff Koltenak, J.J. Torito, Kelly Rood, and one Tom Hollander. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for watching One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This has been Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.